This is Parminder, and I'll be exploring how you look after your mental health when you live in Belgium, away from your home country. I'm at the Community Help Service, or the CHS for short. The CHS is a mental health services centre in Brussels, providing mental health care to the international community. Joining me are two very experienced mental health care professionals. Dr. Alicia Ciani is a consultant psychiatrist and has extensive experience of working in Italy, France, Belgium and the UK. She is also clinical director of the CHS. Nicole Josephson is a clinical psychologist. Nicole's background is both in clinical and organisational psychology. She has extensive experience of working in South Africa, the UK and Belgium. She also works alongside Alicia as part of the CHS clinical directorate. Alicia, I understand that when people live in a foreign country and need to look for help to deal with mental health struggles, they have particular issues that need to be taken into account. What's different for expatriates compared to the general population?
Thank you for the opportunity to talk about this. Firstly, I like to say that when we talk about expats, there are many different reasons to live abroad. You might be single or with someone and decide to move. Or you might move because your job requires it. You might move with your family, which also involves looking for schools for your children. Your spouse will want to build a network of friends and or find something to do. Regardless of the circumstances, in my experience, there are a few main issues that face all of them. Language is one. In other words, communicating, keeping informed, navigating new systems. Being far from family and friends, in other words, being away from your support system, is also an important stressor. Very often, as an expat, you have to recreate your own circle of friends, not necessarily ones you would have chosen back home. We take for granted the confidants we had back home. We don't have them in our network. Working in a foreign environment is also a stressor. Whether you are the person concerned or a spouse following your partner abroad, there's also a sense of isolation for each person, which can be overwhelming. Children of expats can struggle either with school, adapting or making friends. Adults will themselves have their own struggles, settling into their home, the jobs, the new environment in general. All these issues can make these expat populations vulnerable.
Is there any research looking into this?
There's a recent study by Moika Sterle and Pam Bell and other colleagues which look at the complexity in the expat community when dealing with their mental health. I welcome these papers, which highlight the experience of expats during therapy and focus on the importance of a trusted relationship.
Nikki, I know you wanted to say something on this as well.
Yes, I just wanted to add that the issues Alessia mentioned are related to identity. When you move, you negotiate your identity completely. We are who we are because of our relationships with other people. And so when we come to a new place, we have to renegotiate that identity completely from the ground up. And that can be very destabilizing for anybody, especially for children. And it brings with it huge challenges and strong emotions.
Nikki, with all this in mind, how can you spot that you or someone you know might be struggling with mental health?
That's a tough one because you can't always spot if somebody is struggling with mental health issues. A lot of people are good at masking, especially in the expat community, who are often professionals working at a high level, juggling a lot in their jobs, and there's a lot of pressure to be high performing. If you know somebody well, some of the clear signs might be mood changes, acting out of character, sleep patterns are disrupted, sleeping more often or less often, substance or alcohol abuse in order to cope, withdrawal in general from family or peer group and into yourself, and not being as social. Denial of there being a problem is common both within the expat community and in the wider population. We see a lot of that. We see a lot of people burning out as a result of as Alessia mentioned, the immense stress and lack of support systems, either from family or socially. You might want to check in with that person if you notice any of these signs to see if they're under pressure or stressed.
And you've seen this in your work?
Yes, typically with my clients, when they come to see me, they have been feeling an increasing sense of anxiety, increased nervousness, perhaps tension in the body, in the chest, or palpitations, dizziness. These are indicators that our nervous systems are under pressure and that we need to self-soothe or regulate it. It is essential that we do that, but many of us are not taught how to do this, and that's why people come to therapists, and that is our main role as therapists, to teach people how to self-soothe. People find ways of self-soothing, disconnecting, and regulating their nervous systems in all manner of ways, and you have to find that particular sweet spot for yourself. It's important to recognize that self-care is not selfish. I would always recommend that you have an activity to balance your work as an essential way to manage your stress, anxiety, pressures, bad thoughts during the day. Incidentally, our bodies respond to bad or distorted thoughts in the same way as they would external threats. This is not only for those with mental health struggles. We all have bad, distorted, or intrusive thoughts. That is the nature of thinking, and we have to get good at recognizing when we are having them and recognizing them for what they are.
What might that involve in practice?
We need to ground ourselves to get ourselves out of our heads and into the world around us. Grounding techniques that use our five senses are helpful to reduce anxiety. For sight, what can you see at the furthest distance away from you? What can you hear? What can you taste, smell? Can you feel the chair beneath you? Connecting with others is the main way of calming our nervous systems, so your activity doesn't have to be meditating alone on a mountaintop. I just want to add that it's a misconception that only mental health professionals can be supportive and can help people in distress. It's important to understand that we can all support, and listening to somebody who might be distressed can be very valuable. If you're part of the support system, you can make a big difference.
Alessia, do children struggle with mental health?
Yeah, absolutely. Children of all ages can be affected. They just show signs in different ways to adults. Where adults would manifest a struggle psychologically, children manifest it in a physical way. For instance, young children will often complain of some sort of gastrointestinal distress, or don't want to go to schools, don't want to separate from their parents, or throw tantrums. These are signs that children are dysregulated or have difficulties with their nervous systems. Working with young adults, by that I mean from 16 to 25 years old, one indicator for parents that something is wrong is when they notice that the young person is spending a lot of time locked up in the room on their devices using social media. So along with changes in their sleeping or eating patterns, it's something for parents and peers to watch out for. It's quite typical for young people struggling with the mental health to take longer to get going, get ready in the morning than usual, having low energy levels.
Can we put this down to the COVID health crisis?
We've seen an increase of 25% almost in anxiety and depression in young adults, both in general but also because of the pandemic. Withdrawal from friends, family is also a warning sign. Their exposure to social media seems to be having a big impact on their mental health. There's a lot of evidence to show that addictive behavior in general, substance abuse, eating disorder, self-harming are typical signs in this age group that are struggling to cope and need help.
So, Alessia, how should people, particularly in the expat community, get support if they need it?
It sounds complicated, but it's not. Belgium is a federal state with three main communities, the Flemish, French, and German communities. These territories overlap geographically, but are separated by languages, which can be another complexity to expat life in Belgium. Your general practitioner or GP is usually the first point of contact, so choosing your GP is your first step. GPs typically refer patients to mental health centers like CHS or family planning centers, who also provide mental health support, for example, through a clinical psychologist or a psychiatrist for more severe conditions. Specialty services are available for different age groups. For expats, all these services are accessible either by contacting them directly or through your GP.
And are the waiting lists for these services long?
As you know, the pandemic has increased the general level of stress, and the demand for treatment of anxiety and depression, as well as substance misuse, has increased exponentially. So the waiting list can be long, but it really depends, for example, on the region or service. But it shouldn't be a reason not to ask for help. The impact of the pandemic, for example, fear, anxiety and isolation, as well as worsening of pre-existing mental health issues for the population at large, and also for the expat community, might well persist long after the pandemic is over. We would advise that it's important to deal with issues earlier before they turn into something more serious.
Nikki, how has the CHS been affected?
The CHS has also seen a huge increase in demand for our services, so there's a lot of pressure right now. The CHS has a mental health centre as well as a helpline, and the mental health centre provides a multidisciplinary approach and functions in English, although we have various therapists who speak a variety of languages. We mostly see expatriates because we offer a service in English. There are, of course, other English-speaking services which are part of the Belgian mental health care platform. We're a non-profit organization that relies on volunteers to manage the helpline and support us in our office with administrative tasks. So if you're interested in volunteering for either the helpline or the office, please do get in touch with us. We'd be very happy to hear from you.
Nikki, Alessia, thank you very much to you both for taking the time to explain the complexities of the expat experience on mental health and well-being.